And I was praying about it, and I'm sure there are many theological explanations about this, but I want to share with you what God spoke with me about. He writes here, he says, "For I received from the Lord," that's 1 Corinthians 11:23, "I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this every time you drink it in remembrance of me.'" And this is the verse that I was talking about. It says, "For every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Now, this is just me thinking, saying, why do I want to proclaim the Lord's death and not his resurrection? Is what set us apart from the world and other religions not the fact that we have a Savior that lives, there's an empty grave, that he's risen, he's ascended into heaven, he's seated at the right hand of the Father? And as I was praying about this, I saw this image of, you always see in movies and stuff, about them doing an autopsy. And at the end of the autopsy, they write a death certificate. And the certificate normally lists exactly why the coroner and then believes what happened to the body, why they died. And God said to me, in my heart, he said, "A lot of people forget why I have died. And you can put a number of things on there. You can put your name. Jesus died because of me, Rake, my sin. Put your name on his death certificate. Put the very things that you think is hindering you from coming into his presence. Fear, anxiety. He died because of all of those. But then again, he rose. But everything that you're struggling with, the price has already been paid. We don't have to suffer for that. We don't have to labor for that. We don't have to strive for that." See, the Bible also says that Paul is writing in Corinthians a couple of chapters earlier. He's talking about the power of sin is in the law. When you're focusing on the law, do not do this, do not do that, that sin has power over you. But when you begin to focus on the fact that Jesus has already paid for that, that no longer has any power over you. Because he has triumphed over the sin. He has triumphed over everything that once separated you from God. And we have free access to our Heavenly Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. Why don't you all stand with me today? Lord, we thank you that we can come together as the body of Jesus Christ in this place. And Lord, we thank you that we can think back and remember that Jesus paid for every sin, for every sickness and anxiety, every fear, everything that we feel is separating us from you. He paid for it, and he had victory over it, and we have victory over it today. And thank you that we are unified together in the body of Christ. And we thank you for the body of Christ now. Please eat. Lord, we thank you for the blood, this cup that is the blood in your covenant. Lord, I thank you for the life that's in your blood that flows through us. We thank you for it now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Please drink. Amen.
Look, there's a few people obviously going to have the opportunity to share tonight and to come up and to just voice what God has spoken to you about or put on your heart or whatever. So, if you haven't actually made up your mind that that's what you want to do because you're a bit reserved, just get into it and do it. I'm just going to encourage you all to actually move out. You just don't know sometimes what God wants to say through you that is going to be of a greater benefit or a blessing to others. And you really don't know how important it may be, whether you think it's significant or not. That's not the point. It's what God thinks of it, amen? It's rather incredible that I was listening to a guy on Christian TV, and he's an American entrepreneur who's always been a, I don't know what you call them, but they raise funds for company projects, and they're in this sort of scenario. You would know more about that me than I would. But I don't know what he called himself something anyway, and that sort of money's out of my league anyway. But he said God challenged him one day and said, "We need a fund," or whatever it was that he was putting together, "for the kingdom of God, and we need to get it out there." And he was convicted over, like, the guy is earning such a huge amount of money, and he started to look and think, well, what do I do with all of this? And he started praying about it, and that's when God spoke to him about his money. So he decided he was going to start this fund for something that was called Last Effort or Final Push or something like that, whatever. And sorry if I haven't got all the details correct, but I just really feel this is important. And so he shared it with a few other American entrepreneurs that were Christians as well. Count me in, count me in, count me in. He ended up with 160 members of his organization saying, "We want to do this." And the whole blanket scenario of it was that they looked at the Bible and they said, okay, what does God want to do with this? And so, like, if Jesus comes back, will we have time? So they started looking at the return of Christ, and it was interesting. They got to the verse, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached as a witness in all the world, and then the end will come." Now, Christ is definitely coming back, but there's a few things that God put into place in the Word that we need to look at. So they did some research, and they found out, this is about 4 years, 5 years ago, there were 800 nation groups or groups in nations, tribes or whatever, that had not heard the gospel, in round figures, around 800. So they determined they were going to finance missions into these groups. As of January this year, they have 180 left. Wow, that's a push. And so this is what I'm sharing more than anything. Then he said, some of these places that we went into, although he was asked a question by the guy interviewing him, and he said, well, some of the places we've gone into haven't been easy. But the teams have always come back and said, God gave them a strategy. And the strategy was to see what was needed in that tribe, group, people or nation, and meet that need. In some instances, it was medical. In others, it was physical, food or whatever have you, or other whatever things. So they started by meeting the people's needs. And this one particular group that they were just completely getting all sorts of opposition from, "We don't want you here. We've got our God. We don't want to know about your God," etc. And so they prayed to God for a strategy. God said they need doctors. So they went and got doctors to come in and minister to them and gave them free consultations and everything. And as they were doing that, a girl who was born blind that was fully known to everybody in that region came in, led in, and they prayed for her, and her sight was fully restored. That got the attention of that whole nation. They immediately wanted to know who this God was. They immediately wanted to know how much this God loved them or whatever have you. And so from that, anyway, the fellow in America, the entrepreneur who started it all, got a phone call from them and said, and they said, we've had a breakthrough over here. And he said, well, what happened? And they told him, and he said, I am a diehard evangelical. He said, I don't profess to be a great theologian or have a big knowledge of the Bible, but he said, I know God and I love God and I serve God. And he's given me great giftings and I use them to the best of my ability, but spiritual giftings have not been my forte. So he started looking into this area of all of the groups, and he rang around all over the world and spoke to the groups that had had breakthroughs, and they said, oh, look, it's easy. When God moves, people respond. We've preached the word, we've shared with them, and there's always been miracles, signs and wonders. And this was new to a guy who's an evangelical that never ever had the experience of healings and miracles in his lifetime. So he started to look at the Bible, and he realized that in the book of Acts, everywhere the church went and started things, people were healed, people were set free, people were delivered. And he realized then that if God did that in the book of Acts, he's still doing it today. And the good thing about it was that when people wanted to share, regardless of whatever, they'd had a greater dependency on God when there was opposition. And God always showed up. God always showed up. And I think that is amazing. I think we're at the point now where, and I've said it in church before many times here, I am blown away. Krista read my notes last week. Kerry often reads my notes. Other people get up in communion, and I'm sure they've read my notes. Not true. Not true. We have had an amazing display of God confirming the word. Confirming the word. Carol said to me the other day that Margaret, her mum, back in Canada, guess what the preacher preached on? What was it? Fruitfulness. Can you believe that? And of course, Margaret's jumping out of her skin almost with excitement, because the same word that God's wanting to speak to the world has reached the other ends of the earth from, you know, from here and there and wherever. And I'm hearing it from all over the place. But last week, and if you weren't here last week and you didn't get to sort of see what happened, Krista got up before I finished. And I put that song on at that time and you came up. I can't remember. Anyway, she came up and she said, can I say something? I said, yeah, sure. She started talking about the bride of Christ. My next notes were on the bride. You know? And then she says, and don't forget the king is coming. The king is... I'm like... Someone's telling stories. No, God's confirming the word. A message came up. Here I was up here sharing what I felt God had given me. And you know, sometimes I ask myself, I look out and I see, are people responding? Is God doing something? Is it being received? And I can't always read that. You don't always get that interactive response. And so I'm thinking sometimes, you know, is this dribbling off my chin and onto the floor or what? And then Krista or someone else gets up and says, God, and I think it's just an amazing encouragement how God confirms the word. And God uses each one of us in every different way. You may only say a sentence. You may get up and share a testimony. You may get up and share, God laid a scripture on my heart. You might just have the simplest of something to share. I'm telling you how important it is. You might think I'm up here full of confidence and boldness. No, no, no. I get up here sometimes absolutely trembling, wondering if I got the right thing from God. And I depend on that type of interaction, and I depend, as much as I think and I know I've heard from God, sometimes I've had a message and right here, I'm sitting here and God says, shelve that, I want you to share this. And I'm like, huh? I spent hours getting this one ready and getting, and you want me to change last minute? But God always provides. And then he gets someone else to share something that is absolutely so encouraging. But let me also encourage you with this. Don't stop at God confirming the word, we're on the brink of the signs following. Trust God that when God is doing something in our lives and He's confirming the word, He's looking for an opportunity to show up. He's looking for an opportunity to heal, deliver, and set people free. And I believe we're so close. I've just had a sensing of that now for a while, but I've got a greater sense of it now, that when God motivates us to this point, in fruitfulness especially, He's saying, we're going to pick the tree shortly and look out, because it's going to feed the multitudes. Get ready for the signs following. Amen. Fudgy's looking around up there. You're not going to get up and share? No? You're not? Can I dob you in? You dob me. No, look, honestly, has anyone got something on their heart, just a scripture or something to share? Just feel free to give us the encouragement. Share it with us. Don't hold back and just keep what God shows you. I think God tells you something because He wants His church to know it. And this man's got it on his heart. So let's hear it.
No, it was just Krista was watching YouTube, and then this thing came up, and it was about Sid Roth. Well, I don't know if any of you have ever watched him. And it was only a shortish clip, and he said, what you see on the Ukraine on the news is not everything that's happening. Now, I just want to share this short testimony. And then he said about this one guy who was a commander of a group of soldiers in the Ukraine side. And you may not know it, but there are lots and lots of Christians in the Ukraine, and we really need to pray for them on a daily basis. And he said this commander prayed, and these troops knew he was a Christian, but most of them were not. And he said, guys, they were in this bunker, very strong bunker, and he said, we need to get out of here. And they didn't want to, and he had to pull rank, and they reluctantly moved. And within minutes after they moved, it was shelled and completely demolished. And based on what he said some of his troops came and accepted Jesus after that, and said, because that was. So just as an encouragement, and one of the things that I wrote on my paper last week, Ken said we must write something, is that when God speaks to us, even though it sounds how insignificant, we must obey. And I mean sitting in a bunker there and shells flying all over the place, and you think you're in a secure place, and all of a sudden God says, get out of here. And he obeyed, and because of that, people, not lives were saved only, but eternal lives were given. How amazing is that?
Sorry, I was watching another thing on Christian TV, and this fella had rung a pastor over there to see how he was getting on. And he said, and they were on Zoom talking, I think, because you could see it live, and you could see this guy in the bottom basement of the units that they lived in. And he said, we're all down here. Everyone from all the units above are down here in the basement. He said, the incredible thing about it is, he said, this is the first time I've had all my neighbors together in a confined space where they can't get away, and we're sharing Jesus and praying with them all. They are all responding to us praying and sharing our faith with them, because the world's crazy, but God is secure. And so it was just amazing that he said, it may be a war, it may be devastating to some, but God is still using it for his expansion of his kingdom. So it's just awesome. Keep praying for them. When you keep praying, you know, and believing God. You just don't know what's going, but I know that when things start to go crazy in the world, Christians need to rise up, because God wants to move as well. Amen. Someone else?
Just to tag on there, I was just telling Lexi, I was like, oh, wow. I remembered this week watching ABC News, because, you know, you need to see what's being told out there, not getting immersed in it, but know what's going on. And they were saying that so many were becoming refugees and they're coming into Poland. And it's just heart-wrenching. You know, the stories that people are going to be telling is quite, it's going to be a time of change in their life because it's such an emotional piece of going from war and having to get on a road, walking where you don't know you're going, but you're walking there, and then to come in or get on a train, get on a bus. One of the really cool things was that the reporter said, oh, and look, you know, there's bands playing, welcoming them, and just such with open arms. But did you know they were worship tunes? A guy and a mate on guitar, I was like, hang on a second, I know that tune. It was a worship tune. It was not like, hey, welcome in. It was Jesus is Lord. And I was like, that is going across the airwaves. And that excited me. Excited me. And I think that we should, as we're, I just keep, you know, dwelling in Psalm 91. And the fact that the Lord, no matter what's going on, he's got it. And it's for, he will move it for his purposes. And that's one of those things that I think, It really is that supernatural spiritual focus on the Lord. We need his hand upon the decisions that we're making, on whether it just be we walk from here to there, or if we're doing a longer journey, or if it's even, you know, what do I do at recess time? What do I do at my quiet time? You know, what am I reading? Asking the Lord for those specific things, because it's going to be needed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, he's just going to come. But we need to be ready. And so just to encourage the body that he is working so mightily. Even, you know, in those quiet places that you don't expect. The other thing that I just wanted to say is speak out the word. You know, we read it, and sometimes, you know, and I'm guilty of this, you know, you read it and you're like, all right, okay, right, where was I? Wake up, right? And it's time for speaking it out. Because in science, follow the science here, a sine wave is what sound is. So it goes up and it oscillates like this. You all have, you know, been looking at sine waves and stuff. Well, here's the interesting thing about a sine wave. So it never stops. It goes forever and ever, amen. And that's actually, you know, Genesis, God said in the when he created the world, that's why the world keeps revolving at 23 and a half axes, because his word has gone out and it doesn't stop. So this whole aspect of sound, when he said, you know, the rocks will cry out. Why will the rocks cry out? Because there's actual sound where the disciples were and where they were walking, and they had praised the Lord at the time, whatever it was, and or whatever has been, when people have been walking by and saying, praise God. These walls house sound. So when God said, if we don't praise him, the rocks will cry out. Indeed, there is energy that it's stored as energy, and the sound waves continue to go, and it is in these rocks. It's in the walls. So think about that, you know, the next time you're praising God, knowing it's not going to end, and it goes up to his throne room, and it ends there. It doesn't end there. It is continual in praise. So.
Never let loyalty and faithfulness leave you. Tie them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Proverbs 3, verse 3. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with everyone. Amen. And that is the last verse of the Bible.
God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble.
Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10.
I just wanted to, this isn't on Ukraine or anything, but at our Wednesday night chat on Zoom, we were listening to a guy and he said something that made me get thinking, and he was talking about reading the Bible and how important it is. And he said he doesn't want it to be, oh, I have to read my Bible. It should be, I get to read the Bible. Like, get excited about it. And he didn't dwell on it at all, but it just got me thinking that if you change that one word in a lot of sentences, you can actually change your whole perspective on your day. It might be like you have to get up in the morning at 5 a.m. to go to work, and you're like, oh, I have to get up to go to work. But if you change that and say, I get to get up and go to work, I could be in a bunker in the Ukraine or whatever, it really can change your whole perspective. So I'm trying to do that and trying to change I have to I get to. And it is making a bit of a difference. So encourage everyone to give it a go.
John's up.
Hi. A few months ago, we were in Esperance. And, God is a God of the impossible. We met a youngish couple, who had been living on a small holding just outside of Esperance, and God laid on his heart that he was to look for a better place. So he spoke to the real estate agent, and the real estate agent said, I'll get back to you. But he got back to him and he said, look, there's a place just north of Esperance, which is a station, and I think you should have a look at it. And he said, I'll pray about it and I'll get back to you. So he prayed about it and he got back to him and said, yeah, let's go and have a look at it. And his wife said to him, you're mad, we haven't got any money. They didn't have any money. They were struggling to actually make ends meet where they were in the small holding. And she said, how much do they want for it? And he said, well, 8 million. And she said, where on earth are you going to get $8 million from? And he said, well, let's go look at it anyway. So they went and looked at it, and she was really dead against it. But God kept on saying to him, you will own that piece of land. So he said to the agent, look, I'll put an offer in subject to finance. And if the bank's happy to do it, that's fine. Well, the agent rushed off to present his offer, and he was gazumped. Somebody else put an offer in, and he thought, well, obviously I wasn't hearing God properly. So that was the end of it. About a week later, the agent phoned him and said, look, that whole thing fell through, but I've got a couple of really, really big players looking at the moment. If you want to get in, you'll need to get in again. This time, they were talking about $20 million for the same property. And he said, well, boy, you put my offer in, but I want an extra $1.7 million just to service the thing for the first 2 years. So the agent went, and he was gazumped again. And his offer was too late. Well, about a week later, the agent came back to him and said, look, that corporation has decided that it's not right for them, it's not the right time, the one that actually had signed the contract, and I think you should put your offer back in again. So he did. And the agent got the paperwork signed, it was accepted, the bank accepted the finance, and they moved in. knowing that they had 2 years of payments to make, paid for, compliments to the bank, and there was a little bit of extra for maintenance. Well, just before the end of his 2 years came up, the agent came back to him and said, look, one of those corporations basically decided they really would like to have it. And he said, well, my price is $30 million. And they took it. So he's now saying, right, this is God's money. He's bought a beautiful block of land in Esperance for the church. He's putting up a fabulous church building. It's all God's money, and he's treating it all as God's money. So here he was with no money, and he's suddenly a multi-millionaire, or he's not. He says he's looking after multi-millions of God's money to do God's work. So I just thought I'd share that. It's really an impossible story, but God is a God of impossibilities.
Mickey.
This is just something that God just daily leads me to. I don't have an option. As I open my Bible, what do I open on? Every time. And it is Psalm 122. And I'll read the first bit to you first and then get to the nitty-gritty. And that is, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, and to give thanks in the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. And then it says, pray for the plea for the peace of Jerusalem. Whilst we are so busy praying for everybody else, which is pretty well what's happening in the world today, I just really just ask you, remember Israel. They have enemies coming in from every direction, and they don't stop. They just, Ukraine of God against them, Russia's against them, America's against them. It just is endless. And then it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls. Prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and the companions, I will now say peace within you, because the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your God. I just thought I'd share you. It can haunt you the way it haunts me. Thanks.
Anybody else like to share? No? Nope. Kiddies? No? Nope. No? Papa Ken, anything else? No? Good-o. Housekeeping, ladies group on Wednesday, 1 till